Welcome to this episode of FEA Today. My name is Matt Costella, director of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association, headquartered at the Grace Bible Church in Fresno, California. Our hope and prayer is that this brief program will encourage you in the things of the Lord and direct your attention to God's Word as you seek to make sense of the world in which you find yourself today. We're going to consider the subject of worship today, worship of God. The act of worship is so misunderstood today among Christians. Even the very group of people who should grasp its meaning and importance. Among many professing believers today, worship is something that we experience that makes us feel a certain way. As a pastor, people often ask me, "Do you have praise and worship at your church?" And often what they mean is this: "Do you have a band or a team that plays music that I like?" At other times, people might say concerning a church, "Well, I don't like that church because I didn't walk away feeling like I worshiped God." Or maybe, "I don't feel worshipful in this church." Worship, to these people, is simply a feeling that incites their own emotions. Is this what God had in mind when he created us to be people who worship him? Has today's Christian church just recently arrived at a proper understanding of what it really means to worship God? Or has the church actually come to the place today where it has perverted this truly beautiful act by turning it into a selfish, man-centered practice? Well, the word worship literally means to do reverence, or to give homage to a superior being, or it means to attribute worth to something or someone. Both the Hebrew and the Greek word for worship, as found in the Old and New Testaments, carries with it the idea of prostrating oneself, showing obeisance, bowing down, and humbly showing submission to another. Therefore, we discover that this true biblical worship must always entail an attitude of humility, submission, and selflessness, something totally opposite of what is being understood and passed off today as worship. I turn your attention to Genesis chapter 22. In Genesis chapter 22, and the first 12 verses, we find the first mention of the word worship in the Bible. And in verse 3, we read that Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. Here we have the first mention of the word worship in the Bible, where Abraham tells his servants that he and Isaac were climbing to the top of the mountain where they would worship God. Now, wait just a minute. God told Abraham to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. And we know from Hebrews chapter 11 that Abraham actually believed Isaac was going to die that day. In Hebrews 11, we find the faith of Abraham, faith in God, thinking that God would even maybe raise his son Isaac from the dead. Well, when God told Abraham to go sacrifice his son Isaac, did this make Abraham feel good? Or did this make Abraham feel worshipful? Of course not. Abraham knew he would worship God because he was faithfully obeying his Lord. We also turn our attention to Job chapter 1. We're familiar with what happened with Job, how he lost everything that he had. And in Job chapter 1, in verse 20, "Then Job arose," and we read, "he rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground," and here's the word, "he worshiped and said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Notice this. After losing everything he possessed, Job fell to the ground and worshiped God. My question is this: did Job feel good about his situation? Of course not. True worship is not predicated upon how we feel or whether or not a particular song or church service made us feel worshipful. Why is worship so important? Does it matter if we worship God? Does it matter if we worship someone else or something else in God's place? Yes, it certainly does matter to God. I want us to consider quickly, carefully, five reasons why worship is so important. Number one, worship of God is important because of who He is, because of His attributes. God's attributes of self-existence, unity, spirit, holiness, omnipresence, omniscience, all of these attributes urge the worship of the one true God. He should be the one to whom our focus should be centered. We are to respond to Him by submitting to Him and being secure in Him. Worship of God is important because of who He is. Number two, we were created by God for the purpose of worshiping Him. Worship is important because it is our very purpose for existence. The Bible tells us God created mankind for His pleasure, and it is our duty to fear Him and keep His commandments, thus glorifying Him. Number three, worship is important because God commands us throughout Scripture to worship Him. And of course, obedience to our Savior is imperative, and if our God tells us to worship Him, we must do so. Number four, worship is important because the first commandment of the Decalogue reveals God's thoughts on the matter. We read, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." Only the one true God is worthy of praise and worship, and He forbids any of His children to give homage or reverence to anyone or anything else. Finally, worship is important because we as believers will worship throughout all eternity. We will continually declare to our Savior and King, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. When we look to Scripture and we see what worship entails, God's Word tells us that our worship of God must entail three elements. Number one, first, we must worship God in spirit, Jesus says in John chapter 4. See, our worship is spiritual communion with God, not our own pleasant physical experience. Our pleasure is not the key. God's pleasure is. Worship is not one particular isolated act we accomplish or some song we sing that makes us feel good, but it is an attitude of reverence that flows forth from us as we faithfully obey God. You see, worship is spiritual, not necessarily physical. It's all about God. It's not about us. So we are to worship God in spirit. Number two, the Bible tells us that we must worship God in truth. Also again, John chapter 4. We must worship God in spirit and in truth. Truth is the platform on which we must stand if we are to accomplish anything according to God's will. We must worship in accordance with the Word of God, His instruction to us concerning how we are to think, how we are to act, and how we are to minister. Therefore, worship of God must never conflict with the commandments of God as revealed in His Word, which is the truth. Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 15, it was made very clear that God desires obedience. To obey is more important even than to sacrifice. Third, we find from Scripture that we are to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We see this all throughout the book of Psalms, where the psalmist continually encourages us to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. In fact, in the book of Psalms, in chapter 29, in the 29th Psalm and verse 2, we read very clearly, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." In Psalm, the 96th Psalm, Psalm 96 and verse 9, the psalmist says, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him, all the earth. Again, God is the focus here. And when it comes to our part, we find that holiness or separation from anything contrary to the nature, the word, and the will of God is beautiful to our Lord. It is impossible to truly worship the Lord while simultaneously living in an unholy manner or trying to use any unholy means for worship. True biblical worship is totally isolated from anything that is offensive to the nature of God or anything that contradicts His will for us, His will for our lives. The bottom line is this: we were designed and created to worship and glorify God, and we need to understand this has nothing to do with how we feel, but it has everything to do with how He feels, with how God feels. Because worship is integrally linked to humility, to truth, to holiness, and to obedience to the Lord, we actually worship our God by doing His will with a proper heart attitude. Therefore, we worship God when we faithfully fulfill His will. We do this through communicating with Him through prayer, through listening to Him, through studying His word to us, through gathering together in fellowship with like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ, through abiding in Christ and performing the good works that He desires of us for His glory. This is true worship. God is the focus. God is the center, not us, not our feelings, not our emotions, and not certainly our own desires. We can learn a lot from people like Abraham and Job and Solomon and David and many men and women throughout Scripture who truly worshiped God in spirit and truth and the beauty of holiness. Let's not become guilty of perverting what true worship really is. If you'd like to have some more information about the topic of worship, again, you can check out our website, www.feasite. That's feasite.org. And we do have a leaflet on our website you can order called What is Worship that provides information and a synopsis of what we've been discussing on FEA today. I thank you so much for tuning into this episode, and I ask that the Lord will continue to guide and bless you as you serve Him and glorify Him, and in all things, your worship is focused upon Him, holiness and humility and reverence to the God who made us, loves us, and saved us.